Okay, folks, welcome again to Life on Planet Porky. Yes, this is the planet that spins around up there in the solar system. All elements of knowledge and wisdom are contained with you in the next 30 minutes or so. Delighted that I'm joined once again by Jake Hawley. I used to call you Jake the Fake, but I'm not going to call you Jake the Fake.
You used to be Jake the Fake, because, first of all, thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you again, Jake. Thank you very much for joining me.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning to all the flock who are listening.
There's one very good reason I don't refer to you as Jake the Fake. That was the nickname of the guy who went down for those terrible accusations about children, Rolf Harris, okay?
Right.
He used to be known as Jake the Fake. Do you know that? He made a song years ago.
Yeah, I know.
The Fake. So I thought, right, show that. So yeah. After that, I decided to make I got a piece of artwork made calling you Jake the Bake.
You didn't get a piece of artwork made. I've got the thing on my phone.
Jake the Bake with a pie on your head.
It wasn't Jake the Bake with a pie on my head. And I'll tell you what, when this episode comes out, I will share this with the flock so they can see. Because they might not have seen it at the time.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know where you were.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a picture of me. You had a picture of Wayne Rooney.
Oh, yes.
And you were jumping up and down, right, shouting about me, shouting Jake the Fake. Mm. But you were holding, here we go, look, and I'll play the audio.
Right, okay, go on.
Here we go, look.
Yeah.
I'm Jake the Fake.
And that's quite clearly a photograph of Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
But anyway, thank you for having me back on the podcast. It's a pleasure to be here on Planet Porky, the finest planet in the solar system.
Yes, of course it is. Yeah, great. No. Okay, folks, I want to tell you about HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the UK's leading recipe box service, delivering fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. It's the easy, convenient way to cook delicious dinners from scratch every time. Choose your recipes from 19 favourites every week. Yes, that's 19 favourites every week, including rapid recipes ready in 20 minutes or less. Family favourites, British and world cuisine, and even a balanced range, under 600 calories, right? And because all our ingredients come direct from our suppliers, pre-portioned for you, there's no food waste. Now, what can I tell you about what I have enjoyed from HelloFresh? What about sweet and sour style chicken with cracked bulgur wheat and red pepper? Pork and apple burger with rosemary wedges and rocket salad? Asian style beef with zesty jasmine rice? That's right, you'd heard all that right, okay? Now, HelloFresh provides family-friendly dishes. Your kids are going to love it. Cooking together with the family. No meal planning, no shopping, no fuss dinners. Did you know most households stick to an average of only 6 recipes during their eating cycle? But here, as I've told you, you have 19. It's the spice of variety. And HelloFresh has a totally flexible subscription plan with no minimum term, so you can skip weeks, change box size and delivery addresses to suit your life and your movements within your lifestyle. Enjoy delicious moments with HelloFresh. Head to hellofresh.co.uk. Choose a box, a delivery slot, and add your favourite recipes, delicious dinners from scratch. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off, okay? This is the offer, £60 off. That's made up of £15 off your first 4 boxes, okay? Visit www.hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code PLANETPORKY at the checkout to enjoy delicious dinners without the drama. Let me repeat that for you one more time. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off, that's £15 off your first 4 boxes. Visit www.hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code PLANETPORKY at the checkout to enjoy delicious dinners without the drama.
We like to talk geographically in these podcasts, don't we, Jake? So I wanted to talk to you about Berlin, actually.
Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin.
Berlin. Now, yeah. It was. How long ago was it?
Well, it was 1989 when the wall came down, but yes. A year later, yes. On the very day that this podcast is going out... Mm. Germany East and West officially reunited into one Germany.
Yeah.
So you couldn't call the football team West Germany any longer after that.
No, they're just Germany now.
And it must have been, it must have been 3 years after that I went to Munich and saw England beat Germany 5-1. When they were Germany. Do you remember we went there? Michael Owen scored a hat-trick.
Was that only 3 years after the...
That was 2002, I think.
Yeah. Was it only 3 years before that that Germany was reunited?
It was one of Sven Horan Eriksson.
No, I remember the performance. It was Owen scored. Did Gerrard...
Gerrard scored. I think Owen scored a hat-trick. Gerrard and...
Heskey was the fifth scorer in that game.
That's right,
Was it only three years before Germany reformed back together? Wow.
Yes, that's right, absolutely. Now, have you done much in Berlin?
I've been to Berlin a few times, yeah. Okay. I suspect I'm doing different things in Berlin than you would have done.
Well, I did the World Cup in Germany in 2006.
You covered England at the World Cup,
I did Berlin, I did Munich... Oh, everywhere. Frankfurt.
Were you there? Were you there as a journalist?
I was there for TalkSport for 5 weeks.
Great.
Yeah, and it was great.
Thoughts on the country? What do you think of Germany?
Well, it's brilliantly efficient. We used to get around on what was called the ice trains because they named them in the English language, the Intercity Express.
Right.
And they were called ice, you know.
Great.
And the one thing I noticed, strange things you notice about different countries, the loos on the ice train were better than most people's loos at home in England. I'm not joking. I mean, just utterly, you know, palatial and lavish and amazing place.
I have to say, you know, on the subject of German rail efficiency, I've got a friend of mine. Yeah. He's a comedian. You might have heard. He's a tall German comedian. His name is Christian Schulte-Löhr.
Right.
And Christian is
what nationality is he?
He's German. That's why he's the tall German.
He's
comedian.
German. So he has ways of making you laugh. Is
yeah,
this right?
Yeah.
Yes.
the first thing he says, he's a good. I like Christian a lot. Yeah. But the first thing he says when he comes on stage is, you know, we're not exactly known for our sense of humour.
Yeah.
The Germans, but he finds it hilarious. He lives in London now. He travels around by tube a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And he finds it absolutely insane that on certain, you know, when you're on the tube in London, there'll be certain times the tube will pull up and they'll say, do not use the rear two doors
of the
tube.
Because they won't open.
Because the platform's too short.
Yeah.
He says in Germany, that would be fixed. You know, they would go, well, that's wrong.
Well, they do.
That's a mistake.
Well,
they'd fix it. They'd extend it.
Well, they can't. It's bollocks. You're talking bollocks.
I'm not talking bollocks. What do you mean I'm talking bollocks?
He's talking bollocks
to you. You have just
said... You
should
put him down and say, yeah, okay, pal, you know.
He's not a dog. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, as you're saying, on the ice trains in Germany, the toilets are better than the toilets a lot of people have at home.
Yes.
This is because in Germany, when things are built, they're built properly.
Yeah, but you can't...
They're done properly.
We've got better trains now. There's one called the Metro, is it, or something like that? No, not the Metro. I get a train in from Surrey sometimes into central London, and it's a beautiful train where you can walk all the way down the middle of it.
Oh, the new ones. Yeah.
Beautiful trains.
Do you like them, do you?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely beautiful. But the point is, they do stop short. Now, your mate Fritz, right? Who thinks that you can suddenly...
Christian's
not a German name. I bet he's changed his name. His name is Fritz. And you can't suddenly go to every station between Surrey and central London and build an extension on the platform.
It does not happen.
Now,
I think what his point he's making is that they would have been built correctly in the first place.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, we've had, you know, I tell you what I did amazingly think about Germany when I was there working in all their big cities. Yeah. How much of them have survived the Second World War. I mean, the architecture of Berlin and Munich is just wonderful. So many of their old buildings. By the way, have you been to Cologne?
No.
Do you know the only thing that survived the bombing of Cologne?
What did?
Their cathedral.
Really?
They've got two incredible massive towers, which are the front of the cathedral. Mm. And if you look at a picture, sort of 1944... The whole of Cologne has been flattened except
from the cathedral.
And not a mile from where we are here in South London, the whole of the East End was flattened except for one building, St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder to yourself.
Do you suspect that's divine intervention? Do you think? I don't want to ask you too much of a personal question, Michael. But are you a believer?
Yes, I am. I'm a Christian, and the reason is because I'm pragmatic, and that is we.
You're a Christian because you're pragmatic.
I am. Yeah, I'm a pragmatic, practical Christian. Right. So,
okay. So, I can't wait to hear
so
this.
So after a few drinks, right, I say to myself, right, now where did we all come from? That must have been a creation from a higher being, okay? Where are we all going to? Well, again, that must be a creation from a higher being.
Jesus died on the cross so that Michael Parry could get pissed. Wonder where we all came from.
Well, it's a bit like that. Yeah, it's a bit like that. Okay, well, where do you think we all came from then?
I don't know, mate. I'm not a Christian. I'm not anything.
Are you an agnostic?
Yeah, I'd say I'm agnostic. Yeah. I'm what you might call a theological swing voter. I could be convinced.
Theological swinger, eh? That's quite dangerous, isn't it?
No, it's not allowed, is it?
What you're doing isn't allowed.
Yeah. Like, Jesus does not want you to be sitting around getting pissed and going, oh, where do we come from? It's probably God, isn't it?
I lead exclusively and only Christian values in my life. My life
really?
Is ruled by
is
Christian
that correct?
Values.
Is that what Christian values are these?
I'm kind to animals.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind to animals.
That's the first thing that Jesus says, is it? Make sure you put some deep freeze in your bird bath.
That's right. I like to help those who can't help themselves. So, for instance, on my place down on the coast, and I've told our millions of listeners this before.
Your tenants and your properties on the coast?
No, the one I live in on the coast.
All right,
Sometimes, because I don't go there every day of the week, I realise that six cans of beer are suddenly out of date. I don't throw them away. I take them and give them to the homeless people in Portsmouth.
Hang on a minute. What are we talking about? So you're saying this is my
Christian beliefs.
So your Christian values, first of all, is that you like to defrost bird baths and often end up killing the birds.
I haven't done it for a while.
The next one is that you've got a property in Portsmouth that you visit so infrequently that beer goes out of date.
Well, it doesn't go out of date, but I don't drink a lot of beer at home. I drink beer in pubs. I keep beer in the fridge in case people come around and want a beer.
It goes out of date.
So these
poor homeless people living on the streets of Portsmouth, they see you coming along and they go, excuse me, sir, have you got any change? And you go, no, even better than money, I can give you an out-of-date can of Foster's.
Usually six. I sometimes give them six, yeah.
Great, so if the first one doesn't give you a dicky tummy, the other five might.
No, you've got to understand that these sell-by dates are rubbish and useless.
And you know, just briefly, this is why Wetherspoons do so well. They buy beer just before it's about to go out of date.
I was going to say, just on the border, don't they? Don't they?
Yeah.
Buy huge consignments of beer overnight, literally, and then get rid of it within 2 days.
Yeah, that's it. So anyway, that's one of your Christian values.
On that basis, down in Gosport, where I live, you can get a pint of Ruddles beer in Wetherspoons for £1.32.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant?
That's a weird price, isn't it? Why is it £1.32?
Well, why do you pay £4.39 in a bar in London? You know what I mean?
I don't know, because I'm an idiot, basically. So more Christian values, please. What else do you do as part of your Christian values? You like to give out-of-date beer to homeless people.
Yes.
You like to defrost bird baths.
Yes, that's right.
What else is there that helps you follow a good Christian life?
I donate to charities.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I donate to charities. My friend has got a... But I only donate to local charities now, because my friend's got the main charity Sanctuary, Jenny Seagrove, the actress, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a regular supporter of that. But I don't support things like Specsavers anymore, which I used to support.
What do you mean, Specsavers?
No, not Specsavers.
Specsavers!
What's the other one?
How'd you get those new glasses? I got them from that charity, Specsavers. Michael Parry paid for them.
There's a charity which deals with children's eye conditions in Africa, and it's called... Not Specsavers, Spec something else. It is something else. I'll remember it in a minute. But I donated for years.
Right.
And then, being smarter than the average bear, I wrote I got a letter from the chief executive saying, could you up your donations, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that's a bit cheeky, because I'm quite a generous donator anyway. What are they called? You'll be able to find them on your phone. It's African Charity to Help Children's Sight. But anyway, so... As the chief executive, a lady had written me a letter, right? What are you sniggering at?
No, carry on.
Saying, can you up your donations? I wrote her a letter back saying, I've got a brilliant way of you to improve your revenues. I'm a broadcaster. I'm going to get a couple of friends together. We'll go to Africa and we'll make a great video about the work you do out there, you know, and then we'll get it sponsored and all that kind of stuff. After a week, I hadn't.
Is it World Vision?
No, it's not World Vision, but that's a
sight
one.
Sight savers.
Sounds like spec savers, doesn't it? Right? Sight savers.
All right. So they said to you, dear Michael, please could we have a little bit more money?
That's
and
right.
you said stuff that.
Yeah.
I'd rather go on a piss up with me and my mates to Africa and we'll film it and that'll be even better.
We'd be doing good work, wouldn't we? Be doing good work.
Would you
film it and then you know look at this great work they're doing, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So. When I didn't get a reply, I...
you didn't get a reply?
Yeah, I didn't get a reply.
They probably didn't know what to say.
Well, they should have said something, because that was a very generous offer. I wasn't even going to charge them for my time.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. I mean, I did want a business class flight there and back.
Are you going to charge them?
Hotel, you know what I mean?
Right, okay, so they didn't reply. Yeah. So what happened next?
So then I rang up somebody at the company. I got through to her office, got through to her PA, right, and I explained who I was, you know.
Hello, who's that? It's Porky Parry.
Yeah, that's right.
Pardon?
Like that.
Yeah, is this Specsavers? Right. It's Porky Parry here. I want to demand when I'm flying to Africa for my piss up.
Yeah.
So what did they say?
So I said, you know, did you get my communication? I sent it by email and all that. She said, oh, yeah, we did. Yes, thank you. I said, well, I haven't had a reply. And she said, oh, well, the chief executive doesn't reply to individual donors. And I said, I beg your pardon? I said, your chief executive has written to me asking me to up the monthly ante. Right, so I take letters from her, but she won't take a constructive suggestion from me. She said, no, she doesn't talk to individual donors. I said, is that right? I said, well, let me tell you this then. This individual donor ain't going to talk to her anymore, and I'm cancelling my subscriptions, okay? You've had it. Bang, put the phone down, rang the bank, and cancelled my standing order. I will not be treated like that. And then gave the money to my friend Jenny for her horses, okay?
Horses? Yeah. Oh, my God.
What are you laughing at?
Right.
I think that was very, very generous. Anyway.
No. See, look, I think I know what this is. And I get these emails from, you know, I give a little bit to show, not a lot, but I give it. Yeah. And every now and then you do get something, for example, from, oh, it's me, the founder of this charity, that charity, la-di-da. And it would have been a group email, Mike. They, you know, they're not contacting.
It's from her.
Yeah, no, but they sign it off as from her.
Through my letterbox. Yeah. And her signature, you know, had been, like, copied onto
exactly.
It, you know what I mean?
She, yeah. Look,
well, bollocks to that. She wants to write me and ask me for my money. So I write back to her with a suggestion.
So
she ignores me. She's got it coming.
Oh, God.
She's on the Porky Parry blacklist, believe me.
So the kids in Africa, they haven't got glasses anymore.
I felt sorry for them. I'd given them a lot of money. It was nearly £100 a month, right?
Oh, well, that's very kind. That is very generous.
Exactly.
You said that's going to your mate's horses now. Instead, get them some glasses. See if they can read some books.
Well, you see, now you're being very unkind now because, you know, I hope my money will have been invested and will have helped the children there. But we got here talking about Germany.
And
the one thing I wanted to talk to you about Germany was at the very moment, as we are speaking, the Munich Beer Festival
Have
you been to the Munich Beer Festival?
Oktoberfest,
yes.
I haven't been to the beer festival, but I've been to Munich and I've been around all the beer halls, all of that. What are the bands called? The Umpar bands. All that.
And did you put on the Lederhosen?
Yeah, we put on the Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Drank from the Steins.
Yeah, Steins.
Fantastic.
Have you done it?
I've
never been to the Munich Beer Festival, but for some unknown reason, one year, my mates and I think it's because it was a lot cheaper. Mm. It was when I was a reporter on a weekly newspaper.
Yeah.
We went to the Belgian Beer Festival.
Ooh.
Because you can get there on one boat from like Folkestone to, what's the Belgian port called? Ostend.
Good.
Ostend. Yeah. And that's where the beer festival was, in Ostend. So we went over for about 3 or 4 days, had a great load of beer and all that.
Yeah, as you might.
You won't believe it, but when we got to Folkestone, I don't suppose I travelled very much in those days, and maybe I hadn't travelled since I went on holiday with my parents to Spain, you know, 3 or 4 years
ago. You spoke about this in the other podcast, where you kicked down the door of a newsagent at the age of 13 demanding a newspaper while they were trying to have a nap.
No, it wasn't that. I got to customs and my passport was out of date. Yeah.
When you were going to Belgium.
And I thought, you know, I saw my mates going up the gangplank onto the ferry. And I thought, what am I going to do? And some very kind customs officer said, look, if you go into that, you know, punch it off there, he said, you can get a 48-hour pass. And so I said, really? Well, he said, I didn't know. I'm not even sure if we were in the common market in those days. I've no idea, right? I suppose we must have been in the common market under the Ted Heath or something, you know.
Right,
But anyway, I went in and I said, look, I'm awfully sorry. And they very kindly Cosmo, they gave me this pass for 48 hours, but we were staying a lot more than 48 hours. So I said, I don't care about getting back. I just want to get there, be with my mates, and get into the on the
get
lot,
there, get
lash,
on the beers,
get on the lash.
Worry about getting home later. Did you get home all right?
I got home all right. Nobody even noticed that the temporary thing I had was out of date.
Do you know what they are? They used to be a lot more lax than they are nowadays. Yeah. I remember we used to drive. Me and my sister, and my parents, we used to drive to Spain on holiday. And I remember we were driving back through France. It was like a 20-hour drive. Yeah. Halfway back, my dad realised he'd forgotten our passports.
Yes,
genuinely managed to sneak us through the border onto the ferry.
Yeah.
In France.
Yeah. Well, I've heard loads of stories of people who picked up the wrong passport. You know, their girlfriends or their wives.
Yeah.
And nobody ever notices.
Nah.
It's very, very hard getting out of America now as well. Last time I was in America, queues were like half an hour. You know.
They gave me bother. They gave me bother when I went to America. Yeah. I think it might have been because I do this drugs podcast for the BBC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be.
So they gave me all these questions. They get very aggressive.
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
You know, they're very hot on it. They're very hot on that.
Well, the world is a different place, and we have to think about that. Okay, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky. Delighted to say I'm with Jake Hawley. And by the way, Jake, those last couple of podcasts we've done have elicited a terrific response from the listenership. I want to thank them all for taking the time.
Yes, thank you.
It's planetporkypod@gmail.com or just send young Jake. What's your Twitter handle, Jake?
Hawley Jacob.
Hawley Jacob. Or myself at Mike Parry 8. Just send us a comment
about the
podcast. And by the way, they don't have to be complimentary. If there's something we've done that you don't like, we like the feedback. So please get back to us. And
send them to you. Send Mike the abuse.
Send the abusive ones to me.
He'll abuse you back at four in the morning.
Because young Jake is such a snowflake.
Oh,
you know,
it might shatter
his confidence and his career.
Rubbish.
If he suddenly gets abused. Now, I want to tell you about something, right?
Go on.
Because I'm a man of a certain age and have had decades of experience of witnessing the development of the British cultural life over the last few years.
Really?
I came across the fact that in this week, in 1967, Cliff Richard made an announcement. He was going to give up show business and turn to religion. He wanted to be a religious education teacher.
Yep.
He thought that that was the way he could serve God because he's a very strong and able Christian. Better. And then, of course, what happened was that the commercial powers that surrounded him came around, convinced him to he could be a Christian and go on. And I think it was 2 years later when he won the Eurovision Song Contest with congratulations and celebrations. I want the world to know that I'm in love with you. And he's led a very clean life. Now, in a previous podcast, we talked about Michael Douglas downsizing his property portfolio.
But we were supposed to be talking about him downsizing his face and his waistband. You just started jabbering on about the price of his houses.
But in Cliff Richard's case, he's done exactly the same. Cliff Richard had a vineyard in Portugal where he produced his own wines. Yeah. He's decided to get rid of that. He had a big home in the Caribbean.
Oh, we're talking about house prices.
Where Cilla Black used to join him, and he's got rid of that. He also had the infamous apartment in Buckinghamshire, which was raided by the police while the BBC were filming.
He's got rid
of that because he's got bad memories. Now, the point I was going to make is, have you ever felt, because I have, I'm going to tell you my experience.
Okay.
Have you ever felt that you should turn to religion to make your life more worthwhile?
No. No, I haven't. I haven't felt I need to turn to religion to make my life more worthwhile.
I once seriously contemplated joining the Hare Krishna mob. Right? What are you laughing at?
All right, okay. Yeah. Now, first of all, I was going to say previous podcast. It was in this podcast about 10 minutes ago in the first start off.
Okay.
You're saying how you're a practicing Christian and how you've got good Christian values.
Yes.
Such as animals and giving out of date beer to homeless.
No, I think
people.
That was in the last podcast, wasn't it?
Anyway, go on. If you're a Christian, how are you going to convert to Hare Krishna?
Well, Hare Krishna's Hinduism.
Right, yeah.
I think you can't have both.
You can't hedge your bets. You have to pick a horse and stick with it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is all religions are basically seeking the same fulfillment and peaceful world opportunities, aren't
they? I think so, yeah, but I think also most of them do have a sort of rule in there, like a part of the terms and conditions, is that you have to obey one and not the others.
Hare Krishna,
so it's what attracted you? What attracted you
Krishna,
to the...
Krishna, Krishna, yeah. Hare Hare. Well, it certainly wasn't the orange robes.
No.
But I must admit...
I think that would look quite fitting.
Yeah, need a big robe.
Yeah.
But I have... I know this is very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, clichéd, but when I've seen the Hare Krishna mob walking along Oxford Street or some other famous street in London, I think the last time I saw them was in Piccadilly Circus or Leicester Square or somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel some sense of awe watching these guys with shaven heads, orange robes, banging their drums, you know, the congos or bongos, whatever they're called.
Dancing around, singing.
And their sense of sheer joy and elation at being free of the world's worries and devoting their life to only one thing, and that is the worship of their God. You see what I mean?
But
being an alcoholic, isn't it? Because, no, it is. It is. The only thing an alcoholic worries about is where is my next bottle of booze coming
from?
So
is this why you can see yourself... Because basically, you're going to replace the bottle with God. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that's what they do.
As someone whose main concern is where his next pint is coming from.
Yes.
You're saying, well, how about I switch that to my constant pursuit of God instead?
That's not a bad way of describing it.
But they don't drink.
No, of course they don't drink.
But they don't drink
on the elixir of worship.
Yeah,
of
but
their God.
I don't think you want the elixir of worship. I think you want the elixir of Heineken. I don't drink
lager, actually.
Really?
No.
You like ale,
bitter
don't you?
Man,
red
man,
wine as well, and all that business.
That's right,
But that's what you would want to drink. You like. I don't think. I understand, Mike. That you see these people running up and down Oxford Street, banging drums and singing. You think that looks like a bit of fun?
Yes.
But look, you know, you've said to me before, the main purpose of our life is to have a laugh and a shout.
Yes.
Now, yes, you can do that as part of the Hare Krishna,
but
I don't think you'd want to. I think you would miss the pub.
How do you know until you try it? That's what I'm saying.
Have you tried it?
Well, I'm sure I've told you this story. If I haven't, people know it from a few years back.
Let's hear it again.
When Mr. Brazil and I were covering the golf once in Royal Lytham St. Anne's, I got hit on every day by a Hindu priest called...
What do you mean hit on?
He came in his robes, right, and he came through the champagne tents every day. And of
course, Alan
Brazil was just, you know, look at that freak, you know, look at that nutter, you know. Whereas I had a more spiritual response. I thought, if this guy, you know, spends his life doing this, I'm trying to remember his name, but he came from a monastery in Dundee, believe it or not. I
mean, the Scottish Hindu who chased you around the golf.
Yeah, that's right.
Trying to get you to sign up.
I told you the story, and I gave him £50 a day. And what I'm saying is, That was my guilt money. You know, my guilt money.
Apologise for the
sins of my life, really. The sins of my life, you know, because I would. Now, okay, let's get back to Cliff Richard then. What do you think of Cliff Richard?
I like Cliff Richard. Listen to his music in Christmas
time. I think he's led a very decent life.
My nan's a big fan of his.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't say I listen to him myself.
No.
I think he's wearing a wig. And I think it's a nice wig.
You think he's wearing a wig?
I think he's wearing a wig.
I'm not sure.
But fair play to him for doing so.
Yeah.
I think that's all right. I like Cliff Richard.
Yeah.
I have not ever had the impulse he had where I felt myself going,
no,
I want to switch to religion.
Right.
And I don't think him switching to religion... And if you mentioned there that he was worried about his career, and I think what he's actually managed to do is combine the two very well.
He's
known as a Christian singer. But I don't think... The way he found his Christian faith is in the same way that you looked at the Hare Krishnas running around Oxford Street and thought that looks like a laugh.
Well, maybe not. A lot of it was influenced for me by George Harrison of the Beatles, because George Harrison went big into religion. He promoted Hare Krishna, and he promoted the Hare Krishna band,
right,
or the Krishna Rama band, or something like that. You know, Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Govindam Hare Purusham, and then George learned to play the sitar, which apparently is a very complicated guitar type thing.
I don't remember that
Ravi Shankar was apparently the expert. Listen, time is getting a bit short, mate, but it's been a thrill as ever to do the series of podcasts with you. I want to talk to you about a recently finished TV show, because I think it has such deep implications for us all.
Right.
And it was called The Capture, I believe. I watched it. Yeah, The Capture, right?
Yeah,
Now, you may not have seen this yet, but it's all on recall these days. Mm. But the plot is absolutely fascinating. What happens is that a soldier is cleared in court of a charge of killing an Afghanistani in the battlefield, OK?
Yep.
And the way he gets cleared on appeal is because from the moment he fired the gun till the moment the words came out of his mouth, take that, you bastard, or something like that, right, that was used as evidence against him, not giving the Afghanistan a chance to defend himself. But an expert who looked at the technology said there was drift in the sound, i.e., it didn't sync up.
So, someone has been messing around with the sound.
Not messing. It was just technology had not caught up with the on the battlefield.
Right.
You see
okay.
What I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah,
he got off with it because, in fact, he didn't threaten the Afghanistan. The Afghanistan pulled a gun and he shot him in self-defense. So he got cleared and fine. Right. Now, what happens then is it's so very weird. That soldier then, you know, innocently behaving himself, is then arrested again after a piece of video appears on police screens from CCTV cameras of him beating up and kidnapping the barrister who defended him in court, a beautiful girl, OK?
Oh, dear. Oh,
and okay. He and the viewer doesn't know the truth, right? But we've seen the video of him beating up the girl.
Yeah, OK.
He swears blind it wasn't him. He escapes. He runs off. What happens in the end is that it's a story about how CCTV can be so easily manipulated.
Oh, really?
And where it's fascinating, but at the same time, very difficult to believe. It insinuates that the CIA already use manufactured CCTV to prove their points when they're after terrorists and they need foreign countries to give them the right to export them and all that kind of stuff.
So they can manipulate CCTV footage.
They took the head of the soldier on this one and put the head on top of another man dressed the same way as him.
Wow.
And that could have been used in court and would have got through court had the plot not been rumbled. And the reason they were doing it was because the Americans had already used this method to try and trap a terrorist they wanted to arrest in a foreign country.
Yeah,
didn't have any evidence against him, so they made it up they got actors to perform the terrorist action, yeah. And then they put the guy's face. It's fascinating stuff, but it makes you wonder whether it's going on.
Do you think it is?
Well, I mean, where did they get the idea from for a TV plot like that?
Well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, and if it is happening, is that a bad thing? If they are using, you know, made-up evidence, okay, it's made up. But if they're doing
from a young man like you, for you to say, oh, is it a bad thing making up evidence? Normally, I'd be screamed back in the face.
No, but I'm saying in the context of... anti-terrorism.
Yes.
I would assume this would be the CIA's response. They'd say, we have to do that. We're getting terrorists off the streets. Yeah. We're trying to clean the place up, make you safe.
I'm surprised you didn't come back to me immediately and say, is there any evidence that the man they fitted up was in fact a terrorist? Couldn't the CIA just be fitting him up because they want somebody to pay for a crime that's been committed?
Do you think that's what's happening then? Is that your suspicion?
I don't know.
I don't know this stuff about the CIA. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the CIA is a very secretive organisation.
Yeah, the equivalent
of Britain's MI6.
I know who they are. But
national security abroad.
But I don't know what this particular incident that you're referring to, where they might have made up some evidence is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, as a regular guy... Mm. I like the idea of terrorists being put away.
We all do.
You've got to be very careful about how it's done. I don't like the idea of false evidence and all that. But if it's a terrorist off the streets, that's a good thing.
No, okay. What particular TV are you watching at the moment? Do you watch any TV?
No, I've been watching the football quite a lot recently. I've been enjoying the Premier League, as I always do.
Yeah, good.
Everton struggling.
Yeah, struggling. I'm afraid I'm not getting into that because things change so quickly.
Things do change quickly, you're right. But I've been enjoying the football. What else have I been watching? I've been watching Stath Let's Flat. Have you ever watched that?
No, what's this?
Sitcom on Channel 4.
No, what's it?
Very
what's it
funny.
It's a
Stath Let's Flat. It's a guy called Jamie Dimitriou.
Okay.
He plays a Greek estate agent in London. Very funny.
Right.
Really recommend that.
Yeah.
I've been watching Top Boy on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you heard of Top Boy?
No.
Drama series about drug dealers in council estates in London. Very good as well.
Okay.
What about yourself? We've been watching.
I like the TV dramas now.
Yeah.
I mean, Peaky Blinders is my number one of all time.
It's good, isn't it?
And, you know, I watch every episode twice.
Do you really?
I have to, just to pick up on the sheer, intricate plot,
who
shot who and all that. And the last series, I had to watch every episode twice just to pick up on the nuances of who was betraying who.
Yeah.
Because it's got to that stage now where you don't know. I had to watch one episode twice after I read in a newspaper TV review that Tommy Shelby, mm-hmm. you know, there are things I have to do, had become a heroin addict. And I wondered what the little bottles were in
his
pocket.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
he was
the little vials.
I had to go back again when I suddenly realised that he'd been betrayed from inside his own organisation. And they got the bloke in into the pub, which is their HQ, you know, in I can't remember which district of Birmingham it is. And, you know, the guy realised he'd had it. And they said, well, you know, Tommy just pulled, you know, said, why did you do it? The guy said, oh, well, he pulled out the gun, just put a bullet through his neck into his brain. You know, I mean, brutality beyond anything I've seen before. But as you, I think I've probably boasted before, I have met Stephen Knight, the writer and creator. He gave me a Peaky Blinders hat. And for that, I will be eternally grateful. Right, Jake, we've come to the end of another podcast. So thank you once again for joining me.
Pleasure for having me.
Absolutely invigorating. Love the response we're getting from the audience for these. Great thing is, Jake, that when you come into the studio here, the Porky Planet Studios, you're able to talk about those subjects that we feel we want to discuss.
Absolutely.
But always, we end with a smile on your lips, on my lips, hopefully on the audience. It's great, and it's going to go on forever. Folks, thank you very much indeed for listening to Planet Porky. Jake, do you want to say goodbye to the audience?
Thank you for having me. God bless everyone. See you later.
Indeed.
Are you a believer?
Yes, I am. I'm a Christian, and the reason is because I'm pragmatic. And that is,
you're a Christian because you're pragmatic.
I am, yeah. I'm a pragmatic, practical Christian. Right. So,
okay. I can't wait to hear this.
So after a few drinks, right, I say to myself, right, now, where did we all come from? That must have been a creation from a higher being, okay? Where are we all going to? Well, again, that must be a creation from a higher being.
Jesus died on the cross so that Michael Parry could get pissed. Wonder where we all came from.
Well, it's a bit like that. Yeah, it's a bit like that. Okay, well, where do you think we all came from then?
I don't know, mate. I'm not a Christian. I'm not anything.
Are you an agnostic?
Yeah, I'd say I'm agnostic. Yeah. I'm what you might call a theological swing voter. I could be convinced.
Theological swinger, eh? That's quite dangerous, isn't it?
None of that business.
What you're doing
isn't allowed. Yeah. But Jesus does not want you to be sitting around getting pissed and going, oh, where do we come from? It's probably God, isn't it?
I only donate to local charities now because my friend's got the Main Chance Sanctuary, Jenny Seagrove, the actress, okay? Uh-huh. And I'm a regular supporter of that. But I don't support things like Specsavers anymore, which I used to support.
What do you mean, Specsavers?
No, not Specsavers.
Specsavers!
Sorry. I once seriously contemplated joining the Hare Krishna mob.